Hello and welcome to a very special Film Ireland podcast in partnership with the Dublin International Film Festival and Young Irish Filmmakers. So stay tuned for a conversation with filmmaker Hannah Mamalis about her really funny film Baby Steps. But first, Chloe O'Malley and Asil Kikski interview filmmaker Kieran Magan about his powerful short Screamer.
Hi, I'm Chloe. I am a young filmmaker and storyboard artist, so this is really exciting to get to you've experienced three different kind of film scenes, and the Irish one from when you're younger, the British one from when you were in uni, and then NYU. Is there any kind of difference, or is there anything that stood out to you between the three of them?
I mean, I think what I experienced versus what they are now is very different. I think the film industry is going through a shift and things like that. And I think when I was growing up here, there was less going on. There was still stuff going on, but as I was getting out of the camera department, things were really picking up in Ireland. Ireland's always been a great place for films to be shot. But I think that there was like an extra level of investment to the film board, and things really started getting going. Element Pictures started really like knocking out of the park. And so I think Ireland kind of, as I like left, became one of the best places to be making films. I mean, you know, there was the difference between the places. It's very different. The American market, it's not, there's no national funding for anything. Everything is private equity. So there's a lot, it's a different type of film that gets made there, and a different, but it's also a really healthy, like thriving market where Ireland is, you know, just a different, it's a different environment. There's less going on, but there's still a lot going on. I don't know. It's kind of hard to compare, but I think Ireland is a very exciting place to be right now for film.
Actually, in regards to kind of wanting to encourage creativity, what inspires your work? Gives you ideas that you have for films? Just like Screamer is a phenomenal film, and the idea for it.
Thank you. The shorts that I've made are very much inspired by my time growing up in Ireland. Screamer particularly, somewhat inspired by a friend of mine who the character was spawned from a story that she told me, that she used to sneak out of her house and read Dostoevsky while smoking cigarettes in bushes. There's nothing like that in the film, but there was this kind of like rebellious attitude that she was putting across that that I felt like it was a great place for a character to start. And then there were so many other like inspirations, but as well as that, I around that time of being a teenager, it's kind of a rite of passage of kids in Ireland getting fireworks by nefarious means, and there was kind of like this like innocent criminal thing going on. So I felt like there was a lot of things that I really enjoyed being a teenager in Ireland that I felt like was ripe for that, those stories to be told. And so that's kind of where I was drawing a lot of those inspirations from. I don't know if that's totally answers the question, but I mean, yeah.
So it's memory driven a little bit. Do you have a favorite memory of being on set from a film you've made or an experience?
I think in terms of from a film I've made, I really like the process of being on set. And, you know, usually what happens is you make a plan, and then that's the phrase, you make a plan and God laughs, or, you know, you make a plan, you show up to set and you realize what can't happen. And I find the most enjoyable part of set is figuring out how to pivot and make what you thought you wanted and distilling it and creatively coming up with different ideas and problem solving. And so, I don't know, there's like so much of that process, which is just all of it on set. I really enjoyed specifically in Screamer being able to film in a fireworks shop up north. That was like a very fun process, or actually the filming in the church. My mom like managed to get 60 of her friends to come and fill a church, which was kind of astounding. It was like my aunt's uncles, her yoga class, and then we brought them to Carlo the next night, and they stayed up till 3 a.m. to shoot a reverse, which because we had to shoot, you know, the church one way one night, and then we had to shoot the fireworks off in Carlo because we needed an empty sky with farmland to be able to safely set off fireworks to do it all legit, unlike the characters in the film. So like, yeah, actually the shooting off the fireworks is real fun as well. Being able to kind of manage that. It's like the whole thing is just kind of managing a chaotic circus, and I really enjoy that. So yeah, and being able to kind of come out of that and have something that you're very proud of, to like, it's fun enough as it is just doing it, and then to come out the other end and be like, oh yeah, we made a thing that I'm very proud of, is is on top of it is fantastic. So like, yeah, it's not really one thing, it's the whole thing that I really enjoy. That is a precious memory, I don't know. Yeah.
That's really cool. That makes a lot of sense for everything. So the whole idea of the chaotic circus, what you've been working on, was it like that when you were making films with your friends when you were younger?
Not as much, because you don't have as many moving parts and logistics when you're made, like, you know, the stuff that I was making with my friends were very silly and goofy, and, you know, usually only had one or two people in it. Sometimes we would do very silly things, and like, you know, what would probably now be like YouTube pranks, but we would be putting them in a whole narrative. I wasn't doing YouTube pranks, but it was like, you know, I don't know. We went to and interviewed people and in character and asked them stupid questions, you know, that kind of stuff. But like that was not in any way the chaotic circus vibes. You know, that chaotic circus thing, it's when you've gotten, you know, 20 people all to a place, and, you know, you have three different departments, and everything is, you know, a thing has gone wrong in each, and you're trying to find a solution between everything. You know, I don't know, somebody, production designer, brings the wrong bulbs, and, you know, the lighting department was, I don't know, you know, the electricity won't work, and so you're just trying to like constantly move. Yeah, I'm trying to I remember that the car that we had for the film didn't drive. We rented it off a guy. He was an enthusiast, hobbyist, and we drove it, you know, to Dublin to film, and the minute we started turned it on after the first drive, it just wouldn't turn over. So we had to figure out ways to shoot it in such a way that you couldn't tell. And yeah, I don't know. That's not really an answer to this thing in terms of what we're doing as teenagers. But yeah, I mean, in some ways you can get away with a lot more when you're a teenager. You don't have to worry about, like, you know, making this film through NYU. I was relying on their insurance. And using their insurance, you have to put everything through kind of, you know, legit way where there's, you know, a designated driver, kids can't drive cars, like all that stuff. But, you know, if you're a teenager and you can get away with loads more because all you're really answering to is whoever finds out. So, yeah.
You're so good.
Yeah.
But sticking on the idea of the theater thing, mm-hmm. I guess, was there something around when you started doing that, or when you were doing this, films with your friends that clicked and made you realize, I want to do this? I know you didn't go into the area of filmmaking right now, but mm-hmm. you kind of realized that that was where you wanted to follow through.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always really liked film. I've always had an unhealthy obsession with it. And having a group of people that had a similar interest, you know, that just kind of confirmed that I wanted to be on the camera side. I did like acting when I was a teenager because I thought that's like actors came up with the words, and you know, then I learned that that wasn't the way it works, and I realized that like the interesting creative decisions were made by people behind the camera. And so, I mean, it was a slow process of learning that. I don't think there was like a particular moment that clicked, but I think the confidence that I got from being behind the camera and realizing that there was some understanding that I had, I felt like I understood it more than most other things, you know, like I enjoyed learning in school, but I didn't understand everything. I didn't have an aptitude for everything. You know, I enjoyed learning about, I don't know, like history, but dates didn't stick in my head. I enjoyed geography, but you know, I couldn't tell the difference between igneous and, but you know, I understood filmmaking. I understood it as a language. I understood it as a technical form. I understood the technology. I was interested and fascinated by the technology, but I was also interested and fascinated by the storytelling and the ability and what it could do. So I don't know, I was kind of just infatuated from when I was a teenager, so it just kept going.
Is there anything in particular in the filmmaking process that you love then?
I think there's moments where I hate every part of it, and there's moments where I love every part of it. I think, as I described earlier, I think that moment on set of finding out that everything's gone wrong and figuring out a way to fix it, when I think it's one of the best feelings, being able to figure out how to shoot, how to get what you want when everything you wanted can't happen. So yeah, I think that's the bit of the process that I really enjoy, that I get the highest high from. I think the whole process is very exciting. I mean, like writing is when it goes well, it's also one of the best feelings ever, but there's so much of it that is just pulling your hair out and waiting for inspiration and that kind of thing. And that can be one of the more grueling processes. Same with editing. I think because of the way my brain works, the instant feedback of the problem solving on set, I think it's the most rewarding. But that can't happen without the stuff that comes before, and it's not worth anything without the stuff that comes after. And so that, you know, I think you kind of have to love it all a little bit, but I mean, yeah, I think being on set and figuring out stuff is it.
That's really cool. It's been really fun talking to you. Thank you.
Very nice to meet you too. Thank you.
Hello. We are here today with Mr. Kieran. He's a writer and a director, and he's very creative. So we went through your Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no.
I've seen your movies.
Yeah.
The Screamer. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Thank you. That's very
much. Got me there, you know. So, can you give us some information about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm a filmmaker from Dublin, born and raised. Yeah, I've been making films, you know, for a long time, but you know, in a small capacity. I started working on sets after going to film school in the south of England. Started working on film sets as in the camera department, and then after working in there for a while, I wanted to be kind of more hands-on creative. Nice. Realized I worked on The Lobster, and I kind of realized that I wanted to be on more films like that. So I wanted to be creatively involved. So I applied to the film school at NYU in New York, and wow. Didn't think I'd get in, but I got in and I got a scholarship and I was able to go. And so, yeah. And so then this film was my second, my thesis film that I made, my second film that I released. And yeah, it's gone to Galway and now playing with Diff. And lovely. Yeah, I'm very proud of it. And yeah.
Yeah, before we start now, I just introduced myself. My name is Asil, and I'm from Tunisia. I've been in Ireland only 1.5 years.
So oh, yeah?
When I came here, I started doing the filmmaking thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm a filmmaker.
Oh, yeah?
I've worked in as a cameraman,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it was a good experience, you know, Kilkenny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I want to thank you again for this movie.
Yeah.
For the short movie, The Screamer.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nice.
Thank you.
And the first question is, what did you enjoy about making this like The Screamer short, the best part of it, and the most difficult things?
I mean, I enjoyed a lot of parts of it. There was, you know, what I was getting into, what I was trying to write about was some of my favorite times as a teenager when I was kind of getting up to no good, blowing up fireworks when I shouldn't have been. And I wanted to kind of make a film about that and about the kind of illegal ways in which kids get up to get fireworks in Ireland. But when it came to making it, you know, we got to film north of the border in a fireworks shop that like sits on the border, and that serves all the people, you know, buying fireworks and bringing them safe. I really enjoyed getting to kind of recreate some of my favorite experiences as a teenager. I managed to, there was, you know, get friends and family members who, it was very self-indulgent. But I also wanted to be able to tell a story that was about kind of resolving that feeling of like nostalgia and how it can kind of by getting locked in that feeling of nostalgia without moving forward, you can kind of wallow. And so, you know, that by exercising that nostalgia, she would be able to move on, that kind of thing.
And I've got a question, like, how did you manage like to be a writer and a director at the same time? That's really difficult job to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult. I don't know. I was making it as part of the NYU film program, and they encourage everyone to write and direct their own projects. You know, I have a real passion for films, and yeah, I had a lot of really great mentors at that school, and you know, they really helped me kind of figure out how to distill an idea and expand an idea when, you know, sometimes you have maybe some disparate images or whatever you want to make that you want to tie together. And I don't know, the guidance of the staff there was really what I feel like helped get over the kind of barrier that I feel like sometimes when it comes to, I'm a very visual person, and I think sometimes when it comes to writing, when you have a lot of visuals, it's kind of hard to tie that stuff together. So having a team of professors who are very experienced writers, they were really able to help me kind of get past that. And I feel like I've really grown, and I feel like I understand writing a lot more. And just through the, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's been a growing process of being able to get there. But yeah, I think... practices, you know. You know, there was a lot of exercises and lessons, and also watching other people make films.
Yeah.
Like you're watching, like, I was very lucky to have a class of a lot of very talented people, and I could watch them grow and see them make mistakes, and through that I think you learn and you gain confidence.
You're not gonna make that mistake again, like,
exactly. Yeah.
And was there any difficulties of making, like, have you seen, like, anything difficult?
Yeah. In this movie or in...
In general, but specifically in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, in this film, some of the more difficult part, I mean, you know, some of the most difficult things is like actually...
Problems, you know?
Is getting it made. I really wanted Alex as the lead, Alex Deegan, who played Jamie. Nice. And I, you know, casting teenagers is very difficult. I was passionate about having good
as a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's a difficult. Being a teenager is tough, and having that extra like lens on you is really hard, and it's not for everyone. And also, like, I think there was a balance of finding someone who fit the role, but then was also had that ability to be able to kind of like hold the frame, you know, be able to hold a close up and be able to communicate what I wanted to be able to communicate through, you know, emotion. And I thought it was really important that Alex could play Jamie, but she got a role in a film, so we had to push back production, which meant we like lost locations. We, you know, there was a lot of scrambling to do with that, but you know, I think the one of the most, you know, a film, you know, will sink or swim on its performances, so you'd got to make sure that you have the right cast. And yeah. So I think that was kind of one of the more difficult things, as well as, like, you know.
It's like you have to be careful, like, choosing actors and choosing, like, the equipment and all.
Exactly. And the same as well, like, working with the budget that we had, we didn't have a lot of money.
I was going to ask you, was the movie, like, was self-funded? Was it?
So it was partially funded, it was mostly funded by the university. I was able to get... financing from the university. I was also able to collaborate with another student who donated his funds that were given by the university to the project. And then I was able to get completion funds from the university. So pretty much like 3/4 of the budget was from the university, and then the rest was filled in by self-funding.
That must be really difficult to make such a good movie like that, you know. I'm telling you, it's perfect. Like,
thank you.
And like, have you got any advice for the young generation? You know, like in a about the filmmaking industry.
I think the most important thing is being able to. One of the most expensive parts of filmmaking is labor, and so having people around you, being able to foster a community that you can kind of rely on and be able to get a lot of help with. The amount of favors I pulled for this film, my mum managed to get all of her yoga class and all of my aunts and uncles to fill up church.
Yeah.
She got 60 extras just by pulling favors. So that was great. And, you know, being able to like pull people is the most important thing. I mean, I feel like with how like technology is, you know, there are so many things are cheaper and more affordable, and you know, there are so many tools out there that you're able to kind of get more and more high production value images. And like, really the thing that will help you get somewhere is having the people power, you know. That's it, yeah.
Thank you so much, sir. And for me, as a, like, you know, I've seen a lot of direct writers and, you know, doing two jobs, like acting or directing, as you do. For like, the best one that I've seen is Ice Cube. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Oh, Ice Cube is it, as in...
Ice Cube is he is a rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, but he wrote a lot of movies and he acted.
Like Friday and yeah.
Friday one and after Friday, Friday.
Next Friday, yeah, so, yeah. Incredible.
Does anyone inspire you like that?
I'm inspired by so many filmmakers and writer directors and all that sort of stuff. Like, I go through phases of just obsessions, you know. Let me think in terms of who have I been obsessed with recently. I've just had a kid, so I haven't been able to like really watch a lot of, I mean, the Safdie brothers, I mean, I know they're going off on their own now at the moment, but I think their work is incredible. And like Ari Aster, his films, I thought Bo is Afraid was one of the best films like made in the last, like, it's incredible. I mean, older than that, like, I mean, you know, I really like Lynn Ramsey, even though that's not old, like she's still making films. I'm a bit of like, I don't know, I watch all sorts of films, and I'm constantly watching films. So like I've said like three filmmakers there, and that's not the tip of the iceberg, but they're the people that I'm most excited by at the moment. And I you know, whenever I get to see their films, I'm usually seeing them multiple times in the cinema. But yeah, I mean, like older filmmakers as well, you know, I don't know. I really like, yeah, like, your man who made Wages of Fear, and like, Diabolique, French filmmaker. I'm terrible with names, but
French names are difficult.
It's
my second language, so I know why.
Well, I mean, like, there's so many. Like, it's hard to pick, but like, also, I've been watching a lot of Brian De Palma recently. Yeah. He's trashy, but like, he's kind of amazing. Hitchcock, amazing. You know, I could just keep naming names, but like, I don't know. But I guess they don't all necessarily wear multiple hats, but sorry, I'm rambling.
How many movies did you make, and have you, like, did you make a TV show, like a short one?
Officially I have made like two shorts that I have released at festivals. I mean, I've done student stuff and projects and small things. Nice. And I mean, I guess when I was a teenager, I made films and entered them into the Fresh Film Festival. But I don't necessarily count those, because I made them in a little bit of a collaboration with other people who are now off making films themselves and their own people. So like, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a filmmaker. I want to be making TV and stuff like that. I've written a pitch for a TV show and a feature, and I'm hoping to get those made next. But in terms of short form stuff, mostly like, you know, music videos and commercial things. But the shorts, I've only really officially made two.
So what I believe is that you're gonna be like one of the best writers, because this short movie with a small budget.
Mm. Was perfect. Thank you so much. Making me emotional.
Thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed talking to you.
Hi, I'm Adelaide. I'm a film reviewer and co-creator of the Ampa Collective. A very nice to be here with you.
Thank you.
I really enjoy your work. I went to see Star.
Oh, did you? Deadly.
My favorite bit was the bit that you do where you sort of ask people for their things in the audience, and you asked me for my watch. You're like, I'm going to come back for that later. And I remember at the time being like, God, I hope she doesn't.
Please don't take my watch.
That was a birthday present from my mother.
I know. Well, it's so tricky with audience participation stuff. You're like, it's all right. Don't worry. I'll be a freak. I'll be real weird, but I probably won't follow through.
I think it's, you know, you kind of have to go to one of your shows and expect a little bit.
It's
of
gonna
that.
Get a bit weird, yeah.
A little bit of that,
yeah.
But I suppose then you're very, very used to stage performance and things like that, and this move into film, very interesting. I'm sure it differs greatly. So you're very used then to directing, writing, performing your own things, and of course for film it's slightly different because you can't exactly see yourself as you perform. Obviously you don't on stage, but with directing on film, usually the director would be sitting there behind the camera. So
totally.
Was there any kind of particular difficulties you had with that?
I think like all of the stuff that I was worried about in the build-up, I kind of just tried to do as much prep as possible, basically. So I was like, okay, you know, yeah, it's going to be tricky when I can't watch stuff back or I can't see it happening. But I guess there is an element to, you know, and I was thinking about this. There's so much of like theater stuff and, you know, and comedy stuff and film that kind of align in lots of different ways, because the things you learn in one, you kind of end up transferring to the other one. And I don't think I realized that initially. And then I was like, you know what? They're all, you learn the same things, basically. Yeah. And all of that, I think, is kind of trusting yourself and your process. And doing it enough that you like have a kind of innate knowledge of what you want and what you want to land on. And that was actually one of the benefits of directing myself, because, you know, you don't have the go between where you're trying to, you know, kind of interpret what a director wants. I know what I want. You know what I mean? Like I know my own brain kind of. Yeah. So that cuts out some of that process where, you know, if you're on a set with someone else and depending on who the director is, you know, how you communicate with them, sometimes it will be difficult to kind of go, okay, this is what you want from me, I think, you know? Whereas, yeah, that was easier with myself because I knew what I wanted. And, you know, I think I kind of knew for the most part if I'd gotten it or not.
Yeah.
So all of that, you know, all of the things that were going to arise that were going to potentially be a bit tricky, I think were solved mainly in the prep and also in trusting the rest of my crew and in trusting my DOP. You know, he was brilliant. Evan Barry's great. Yeah. And he really helped me loads. And he came over like, again, helpful that it was filmed in my own house. So we had like access to that space, you know. So he came over a couple of days before and we just walked through everything so that then on the day we knew exactly what we were doing. We were like, this is where the camera's going to be when we're here. And so I could really, I knew what all of that was going to be. There was nothing that was going to surprise me. There was nothing that was going to, you know, kind of change that much. So it allowed me then to just try and do the acting side as much as possible, because I didn't want one to fall down in service of the other. I wanted both to be as strong as possible, you know?
Yeah. And this is probably a brilliant advertising for just the pre-production process right now.
Totally.
All of our preparation.
Yeah.
So as for then your performance in the film itself, a lot of it was just you solo, and a lot of the sort of narrative relied on sound. Obviously, you have this sort of recording that your character listens to. Did you find it difficult to sort of continue to do these takes without being able to play against another person?
Yeah, like there's always a kind of tricky element to that. I think you're, you know, sometimes there were moments that I remember feeling like, you know, did that land or did that kind of, but I, you know, one of the helpful things, and you know, this isn't always going to be the case, but again, because we were filming it in my house, my mom was there the whole time. And she was like helping out, you know, a lot of the time, but because, you know, the main heft of the narrative is this woman who's essentially dealing with the grief of the death of her mother. Yeah. My mom's just lurking in the background of every shot. Yeah. Just being like, why'd you kill me in your film, Hannah? So like there was an element to like that did kind of help with some of the emotional weft, you know what I mean? Where the scene where I have to, you know, I'm imagining hearing my mother's voice, or I'm hearing, you know, the actor who played my mother's voice. And that does add to the emotion of it then, that I know my mom's there too, you know. And also there's an element to the story that's my mom's mom, my granny, who I never met, she died before I was born, had this tape. This is kind of where it's born from a little bit.
Okay.
She had a tape that she used to listen to whenever she'd kind of get a bit anxious. And it was kind of like one of those, you know, self-help meditation-y tapes. It was like, you know, calm your mind. And then it had this piece of music on it. It was Tchaikovsky's Waltz of the Flowers. And she would listen to that. And then, you know, after her mom had died and my mom was pregnant with me, she used to listen to that tape all the time. And then years later, I was over in New York and I was having a terrible time. I was like 19 and, you know, I was working two jobs and I was like, I hate it here. And I used to listen to that piece of music all the time, and it used to kind of calm me down. And I had no idea that that was the piece of music from that tape. So there was this weird link between, like, you know, my granny and my mom and me. So that was kind of the inception of Baby Steps, basically, that idea of, like, you know, a tape and something passing through it between kind of generations after someone's gone. So because that other layer was there as well, you know, it was, there was a kind of emotional element to it that for that was easier to tap into in the moment, you know?
Yeah. No, that's actually a really fascinating backstory. That's really interesting. So I suppose, yeah, it does have quite a sort of serious undertones throughout your film. But obviously a lot of your background is as a comedian, in your solo work, in your work with, like, Dream Gun. So you have a very, very extensive portfolio of just being very funny, kind of lighthearted, I suppose, for the most part.
Yeah.
So did you find it sort of difficult to maybe try to sort of assert the serious tone as something that you can kind of put out? Because I suppose a lot of people just associate with you with your
comedy more. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was what I kind of started out doing was more my very first show that I did in kind of theater was more serious than it was kind of comedy. And I think it was because at the time it was before I had started doing any kind of comedy or stand-up and stuff. And okay. And I thought I'd written like a really serious play, and then people were laughing loads. And I was like, what's going on here? Someone was like, it's funny, Hannah. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize. So it was funny. That one was slightly more... That one was also about a dead mother. I'm obsessed with writing dead mother stuff, even though my mother is alive. She's like, stop it. I think it's because, you know, I don't know. I think when artists make work, it's always based around, like, general fear that you have around stuff. And I think I just don't want my mother to die. And I keep killing her. You know what I mean?
Fear.
So it's a core one. Yeah. And so that one was kind of about that. And you know, that probably influenced Baby Steps a lot. And it tended to go more serious in the end. And then the second show that I did was more of a mix again, and it was starting to skew more comedy, but again it kind of flipped in the end where it had like a kind of a deeper emotional moment, because I really like making people laugh. I also really like if I can make them cry. I get a lot out of that.
Yeah.
It's super manipulative, but I like, I get such a kick out of, and even with, you know, with Stars, like I wanted people to cry at that dog story, you know, I want to see those tears. So it's always something that I'm really interested in. I always, you know, I think really good comedy also has pathos, you know. I think you have to laugh at something. It's also because you kind of feel too, you know. And a lot of the stuff that I really enjoy watching has both. So it's always something that I'm really interested in trying to mix, you know.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. And I suppose then... in the sort of more technical aspect of making your film, the visuals that the medium of film allows you to have, did you find that opening kind of more doors, maybe for more kind of comedic little bits? I suppose you have the bit at the beginning where your face is the heart contraction,
chicken,
which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, well, what's cool, you know, I suppose you're always trying to figure out, you know, with something like comedy, the different ways you can make something funny, you know what I mean? So like when we were in the edit, we spent ages, my editor, John Cutler, he's amazing. And, you know, I went into the edit, he'd essentially just, you know, he'd assembled when he'd done his first assembly, I was like, you've nailed it. Like, it's kind of this, and now it's just about bringing up moments and, you know, kind of honing in on stuff. And we spent so long, not so long, but like a while trying to figure out the length of the handshake.
Yeah.
And like trying to play with like what's the funniest length to kind of make this funny, and then again have that cut to kind of her just being pregnant.
Yeah.
And you know, and we like flipped that around in loads of ways, and he did a weird thing where he like kind of made the focus the hands, and then everything around it was weird, and we were just cracking ourselves up trying to be like, what's the perfect amount that, and then we were like kind of getting zoned into the fact that like their handshakes kind of look like two people having sex too, because it's like going up and down. We were like, find the funny, you know, in doing that. So it's cool basically finding that, like, you know, you can find funny in the edit, and you can find, and I had also kind of watched a really good video essay on the work of Edgar Wright, and the way that there are loads of different ways to make something funny. You know, it's not just in the writing. It can be, but, you know, it's also in the way you shoot something or have someone appear on screen or the way you cut to something that, like, you can, there are so many different ways that you can employ different techniques, be it with camera, be it with editing, be it with performance, that can bring everything up then, you know, and that's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to try and employ all of those in service of the comedy, basically.
Yeah. No, that's really excellent. I suppose, as you've mentioned, you have a really good team who you sort of trust to understand your vision and what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, are these people that you've worked with quite a bit, or?
I'd worked with them all for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And would work with again, you know, because they were great. Yeah, I know. I did kind of, I knew their work, and I had seen, you know, what they'd done before. So it was really a case of, and, you know, we had like chats too, to, you got to get your vibe right too, you know, and you want that. You want the double of, like, yes, they're really talented, but also they're nice and they get it. So, like, you know, I had a big chat with Evan, the DOP, before we did it. And, you know, that was very much just a kind of preliminary chat to see if we vibed. And I think we did. And he was bringing lots of references that I was like, yeah, that makes sense, you know, and bringing his thoughts and bringing his ideas. And then, yeah, I'd seen John work on other stuff, and I knew he really got, John, the editor, got comedy and got, you know. So, yeah, it was also just lucky that it, you know, they were good and they were great, and, you know, and that all worked out, and I'd work with them both again in a heartbeat, you know, as well as the rest of the team. Everyone did a great job, you know, and I think I was really lucky with that, because that could have been, I think, quite difficult as a first time director, you know, if some of that stuff hadn't come together. And I was just lucky that it did.
Yeah, well, that's really, really fantastic. So thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks a mil.
So, baby steps.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant short.
Thanks a mil.
No, really enjoyed it. So it premiered in Galway and it won Best Short. Tell me a bit about that. How did that feel? Was it I'm not surprised that it won it, but what about you?
It was amazing. You know what I mean? It was my first time directing something. And so, you know, I was, my approach to the process was like, we'll see, you know what I mean? Like, and it was all such a learning curve, the whole thing. So kind of to get that, you know, recognition out the other side is really nice, because, you know, a lot of the time you're doing work in a bubble, and, you know, no one is kind of, you have to have a lot of self-belief, and you're kind of pushing yourself to do stuff all the time. And also there's loads of rejection. So when it comes around to then actually, you know, people are like, hey, that was good. Like, we liked it. And that's what you want. You know, you want people to connect with something. You want them to like it. Fundamentally, that's why you're making stuff, so other people enjoy it and get something out of it. So, yeah, for somebody to be like, we did, and here you go, you're kind of like, cool, you know, it's great.
Yeah, extremely rewarding. Like,
totally. Yeah.
And it has a pretty interesting future as well. You're saying Uppsala and Chicago, and was it New York or
Washington, or D.C.? Washington. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know. I'm like, who's gonna go see it there? I don't know.
So, I'm guessing you're excited for all of them, but is there any in particular that you're really looking forward to going to and attending? And
So Uppsala was back in November. I kind of did a bit of a stint with them where I tried to get to as many as possible, because, again, I was like, it's still a real novelty to me, you know what I mean? Where I was like, I've never done this before, and it's really cool kind of, you know, doing it and seeing the different places that it goes. So there was a couple of places kind of before Christmas. I did a little run of, like, it was in Kerry, and then it was Uppsala, and then it was up in Belfast. So I bopped around to those three kind of in quick succession and was wrecked afterwards. But it's always really cool to see, you know, how people react to it in different places, you know, and you're always kind of like, are they going to laugh at that bit? And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And you're like, interesting. Okay. And then, with with Chicago and Washington DC, it'll be the first time it's playing in the States anywhere. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a kind of interesting one to see. I'm not going to make it over to it because I have to go to my friend's stag party. But But I'll be interested to see if there's any. I really enjoy. Do you have Letterboxd? Do you use Letterboxd? Oh, I love Letterboxd. It's great. But I found after Galway, when it premiered there, I went on and it was up on Letterboxd and people were reviewing it on Letterboxd. And I was like, this is so cool, you know? And so now I'm glued to the Letterboxd when it screens at any festival to see if someone will put up a review, because that's really cool to me, you know? So I'll be looking out to see if after the American ones, anyone does, you know? Yeah,
definitely. And it's kind of, I guess the Letterboxd is more like, it's more personal, kind of casual, than something written for a paper.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's just someone's feeling about something, you know, yourself, you know, it's just like, you don't necessarily think when you write something on Letterboxd that the creator of the thing is going to see it. Mm-hmm. So you're not like holding anything back either. You're just being like, I liked it or I didn't like it, you know? Yeah. So it's really interesting to just see that kind of unfiltered and be like, but I'm looking at them, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, no, Letterboxd is great, to be fair. I'm a bit addicted.
Yeah, it's great.
Just coming back to what you mentioned about like the different audience reactions, did you notice, like in Sweden, was there anything in particular like that they may have found funnier over there than compared to Galway? Or
I think I had a skewed, you know, view of what, basically I thought the Swedes weren't going to be any crack. And they actually were, you know what I mean? And then I was like, what does that say about me? That's what I thought. I thought they'd just be a bit straighter, you know? Mm. And so when it screened in Sweden, I was in like a block of comedy shorts. Mm-hmm. So I guess that helped too, in that like people were going to it knowing that it was a comedy, you know what I mean? And that it was with all these other shorts. And so they're booking in to see a bunch of comedy shorts. So, you know, they're kind of there to laugh.
Yeah.
You're not like fighting against the grain there really, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to expect, you know? And then, they were laughing away. So I was like, okay, cool, nice, you know. It's always gratifying, I think, when particularly, you know, with a comedy, when you make stuff that is supposed to be funny and then they do laugh, you're like, phew, like I've done my job with that, you know, at least it's funny.
yeah
it's helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I guess just the themes in it as well, there, like it was great, and the comedy in it was great as well. But the themes are slightly heavy as well.
Yeah.
Is there, like, just when, because, I mean, you're also a comedian, you write for theatre. Is there, like, just a process of, like, you know, separating, like, between the three different worlds? Or, like, is there an area where they, like, come together?
They tend to kind of come together quite a lot. Because I guess it kind of depends on the different stories you want to tell. And what I found when I kind of started doing theater first, and you know, it's very in your control in terms of, I was trying to write stuff for myself to perform. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're doing what you like, you know, and what you would like to see if it was something. And what I generally like to see and do is kind of a mix where I want the comedy there and I want to make people laugh, because it's great. Look, it's great being on stage and people are laughing at you. You're like, cool. And then I also really like trying to get that flip where, you know, you kind of try and make them feel something else too. Whether that is like, I do really enjoy if I can make people cry. I really get a kick out of that. It's very manipulative, but like I do enjoy it. And so I'm always trying to get that balance in things. And that's both with, you know, I've done that with theater and I do, you know, that would be my impulse with film as well, that I want to get a mix of things in there, because I think it's definitely what I enjoy watching. I want to watch something that I kind of laugh at, and then it also makes me feel something. Mm-hmm. So that's always my impulse with stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess, like, well, they're all, like, the three different mediums are, like, they're similar in their own different ways. Maybe, I guess, theatre is probably a little more similar to, like, film and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess just besides like the obvious and stuff, would you prefer like just performing to an audience and kind of going with that, or do you prefer like, you know, filming something, or even just with baby steps, you were filming yourself? It must have been quite a different experience as well from theater.
Yeah, do you know what, it's funny that again they kind of cross over a lot more, where it's kind of with theater, you know, depending on, I've done stuff where I've worked with a director in theater, and I've also kind of done stuff that I'm essentially directing myself. Mm-hmm. So you kind of learn skills that are transferable, you know, because what it comes down to is like, you're trying to tell some kind of story. Mm-hmm. And you want to get your beats in there, and you want to get a flow of like, you know, okay, here's where you go down and here's where you go up and here's where you kind of level out. And so you become, the more and more you do it, you become more aware of that and how to do it, and when, you know, it does or it doesn't feel right. Whether, you know, you're like, okay, I'm trying to go back up too quickly here after I've brought them down, or, you know, vice versa. So all of it kind of tends to be a little bit transferable, particularly, you know, what I found with when I was directing myself for Baby Steps for the first time, I was like, oh, I've kind of done a bit of this before, you know, even though I hadn't realized it. When I'd film some sketches sometimes and I'd do it that way, and I hadn't realized that essentially it's just me in a room. So I am directing myself, and I am, you know, you're trying to get that. And then, yeah, I've done solo shows, kind of comedy solo shows, and then solo shows that are like a mix of theater and comedy. And again, I've kind of essentially directed myself for them. So I think I probably know myself very well in that regard, and how to do that. I think the tricky thing will be, you know, I'd like to do, you know, a bunch more directing. And it's how to transfer those skills to directing other people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I know how to direct myself.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, one scene in Baby Steps where it was me and another actor. He's also my very close friend.
Yeah.
And he's a really good actor. And so I didn't have to do a lot there, you know? So, you know, I think it'll be interesting pivoting more towards directing other people and seeing what that is like. And look, maybe I'll be shit at it, you know? We'll see.
Yeah. It's still exciting though.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
I guess as well, just with what you mentioned about filming yourselves with the sketches, was that, like, did filming Baby Steps feel like a step up for it, just like a kind of bigger version of one of those sketches, I mean, with a bit more with kind of heavier themes as well?
Yeah, kind of. Certainly, like, I think in terms of what you're trying to get from it, you know, what's really nice, what I found really gratifying about it is that, you know, if you're doing something like a sketch, it's just you and, you know, and then you're kind of putting it up and hoping that people respond to it. And, you know, and then what's so nice, you know, when we were filming Baby Steps, you know, over the 2 days, you've got a whole crew around you and they are all there and being paid to be there for something that you wrote. And it's really nice that you're like, hey, you know, like, these people are all incredible professionals and they're here doing something for you. You know what I mean? Like, doing something in service of something you've written, which can feel great, you know, it feels like it's legitimizing and it's kind of, so yeah, there, I think there are similarities. And then, you know, the difference is just like, there's so much prep that goes into a short.
Yeah.
And even more so because I haven't really done it before. So I was like learning on the fly a lot and trying to figure a lot of that stuff out. And it's like, okay, you know, shot list, like, I've never done a shot list before. Like, okay, storyboard, even stuff like that, where I was like, gotta learn this stuff because I want to do it properly. I didn't want to half-ass it, you know? So yeah, a lot more prep. Definitely.
Yeah, no, and like, it's always so interesting, like, working on like anything film related, just like the amount of different departments as well. Like, there's someone to do everything. It's
totally.
There's someone to like set up the camera and take it down.
Everyone has a very specific job, and I just came off working on another short, and it was a focus short, so it was a much bigger budget. And there were like 30 something people on the crew, you know, and like, that's it. The camera department has like, you know, 4 people in it. The lighting has 4 people, like, and like you say, sometimes that's literally just someone to like help lift up the camera and, you know, move it around. And, you know, there are such specific jobs that go into, and you need all of those people to make something. And, you know, obviously with Baby Steps, we had a much smaller crew. And that was possible because we were in one space and we weren't moving around as much as possible. But it also meant that they had to do a lot of those jobs themselves. So it's a lot more work for people because, yeah, I mean, there's so, the craft of so many people goes into making something, you know what I mean? And that's what's really gratifying about making something, that it's like, oh, like I get to have all of these cool people who are really good at their jobs work on something that I, that came from my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It's such a rewarding and collective kind of effort. Like, it's great.
Big time.
So I guess I just wanted to ask, what do you have planned next? I know you mentioned directing like different people. Do you have any shorts in the works, anything in theater?
Yeah, something I'd really like to, I'd really like to do another short, and just even to get more experience, like you say, directing other people and, you know, seeing that side of the coin a bit more. So that's the plan, I think, you know, make another short. And then I kind of bop around so many different things. So I, you know, acting in a couple of other things. But yeah, I'm doing a lot of writing at the moment to get, basically try and get more stuff made. And hopefully that'll, yeah, be it down the line eventually, you know. It'll take so long.
Yeah, no, it's such a time-consuming process.
It is.
And an expensive one as well.
I know. You just have to stick with it, you know? If you want to do it, you just got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the...
Fab.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Fionn. Yeah, you too. You're great.
My first interview down.
Yay! Thank you. You're really good. Thanks, Emil.
Awesome. So my name is Pia. I'm a film screen media student at UCC. I'm in my final year. I'm working on my grad film finally.
Cool.
And I'm also a screener for the Dublin Film Festival. So
nice.
I get to go see everything for free.
You get to see everything. That's deadly. That's nice.
So
yeah.
Fun. So tell me a bit about you then. Just like.
So my background is kind of, I came out of college and I just did an arts degree in college. And I was like, oh God, what am I going to do with my life? And then I did an acting course for a year, and that was great. But I kind of quickly realized, I was like, oh, I don't think I can. Acting is so tough because you're just waiting for someone else to give you a job. You know, it's so out of your control. And I was like, oh, I don't think I can just sit around for that. So then I was like, okay, like I want to be doing stuff. So I started doing a bit of writing. And kind of writing stuff for myself to perform, so getting into theater a little bit. And I was like, okay, this is something that I can actually do. And then kind of off the back of that, I remember I kind of wrote something for myself and performed it, and someone was like, hey, you know, that was funny. And I was like, really? And I was like, okay. And I started doing a bit of comedy and a bit of stand-up and stuff like that, and kind of trying to mix them all together, really. And then so off the back of kind of all of those things, you know, I was doing some solo shows, and then I always knew I kind of wanted to kind of try and pivot back around to film eventually, you know. And then I just got the kind of great opportunity last year where there's this fund called Actor as Creator.
Right.
Which is, you know, you apply as an actor to write a short for yourself, basically to kind of showcase what you can do. And so I applied for that and I got it, and that was great. And then and I kind of also then decided, as the process was going along, you have to write it and you have to be in it. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to give my baby away to someone else to direct. And I kind of saw the vision for it and I really wanted to follow it through. So I was like, okay, yeah, I think I'm going to direct it too. And that was kind of the whole process then. And kind of in doing that, realized, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I think I'd like to do a bit more of this. And, you know, I think I have that vision for something to kind of, to follow it through to the end stages. So that was how I kind of eventually got back around to kind of doing that kind of stuff, you know, which was really nice.
Yeah, and your short is really, really impressive. Like, you mentioned before that you won an award at the Galway Film Flat. Like, what was that sort of like? You know, did you go into the short thinking like, oh, this will go somewhere? Or were you just kind of like, you know, waiting on bated breath, I guess, or something?
You're kind of always hopeful, I guess. Mainly, I think you're hopeful that people will like it and they will respond to it in some way, you know. So you're making it for that. You're making it for people and people to enjoy and to get something out of, and that's the number one thing that you're kind of hoping out the other side. And then, you know, everything else is a bonus because, I don't know, I suppose the best thing about winning an award like that is it's validating, you know what I mean? So you're kind of like, okay, you know, maybe I could do this. Because that's the hardest thing, I think, about working in an industry like this is that a lot of the time you're pushing and pushing and pushing yourself, and you have to have a certain, you know, you have to have a lot of self-belief to kind of keep going with it because you're going to get constantly knocked. So then when something like that happens, it's like, it's great. And it's great to buoy you to then want to go make more stuff, even though you want to do that anyway. But it's just so encouraging to kind of be like, okay, you know, other people do see merit here and they do see, you know, a good story and they do see some craft. And so then, you know, you can kind of use that as a jumping off point to go make some more stuff, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, tell me a little bit about Baby Steps. Like, had you gone into it, like, with a particular intention? And did that sort of, like, you know, transform, become different over time? Like, over you were producing it, like?
Yeah, definitely. When you apply for Actor as Creator, you don't apply with a script. So you don't have a script yet. You just have a kind of synopsis. Mm-hmm. And you have, like, your kind of character breakdown and stuff. So I applied with that, and that definitely changed. The kind of core of it was still there. It was always about a girl who gets pregnant and she kind of doesn't know how to handle that and spirals a bit, you know. So that was, and I always had the end as well, really. So the tape was kind of always in there. But in terms of how it started, I remember initially, like, I had this kind of more ambitious thing where it starts and she's a magician at a party and a trick goes wrong and all these kids are screaming. And so all of that was, like, you know, totally changed because I suppose, you know, because you're limited with the budget, you know, that's a thing. You don't have that much. You have $5,000. It's almost helpful in a way because it really lets you hone in on what the story actually is and who the character actually is. And, you know, Baby Steps was useful in that it could just be on that character and you're just seeing this kind of snapshot, you know what I mean, all within, you know, a space of time. So the script, I think, definitely had a couple of iterations when I started doing it, kind of from when I'd gotten the application. It took about a year until we were actually in production, which was kind of lots of different reasons, with people's availability, and it was me kind of finishing the script and I was doing other stuff as well. So I kind of locked in the script really in, I'd say it was like November, and we shot at the end of December, just before Christmas. But even, you know, kind of there were things changing just before we shot. I was like, you know what? Let's get rid of that scene. You know, there was something that just was kind of doing another thing twice. So we got rid of that. But then on the actual day, it kind of stayed the way it was, because that was helpful for me in terms of, I just had to do loads of prep, as you know, in the beforehand, so that I could be more present as an actor on the day, rather than, like, you know, the last thing I wanted was for one thing to fall down because of the other. So I didn't want the directing to fall down because of the acting and vice versa. So I was trying to just do those jobs to the best of my ability. So I was like, okay, we just need to know exactly what we're doing. We shot it over 2 days. And that was really, my DOP really helped me with that too. He came over kind of like a couple of days before we shot, and we just walked through everything. And we were like, okay, here's how it's going to flow. Here's what we're doing in this shot. You know what I mean? And because it was helpful, because it was, we were in the space that we were going to be shooting in, because it's my house. So we could go, we had full access to that. And that was really helpful, you know, and we could talk through any potential issues that might arise in terms of, like, okay, we need a shot back here. What's that angle going to be? What are we getting in shot there? What are we, you know? So all of that was great, and he was really great to do that with me. And so that then when we went in the day, we could just kind of go for it and get it all done.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, like, what was the sort of experience of being both director and actor? Because I know you've had, like, other roles, like you're in Cantata, for example, and, like, you know, was it any different? You know, was there like a different lens you could kind of put on it? Like, what was your experience?
I think it was like hard. The hardest thing I found about it was the prep. But I think that was mainly because I hadn't directed anything before. So I was kind of learning all of that on the fly. And it was a big learning curve because, you know yourself, you study to do that. People go to college to study, to know how to direct, to know all of that. And I was like, oh my God, I'm learning this within the space of a couple of months. And I really wanted to go into it knowing as much as possible. I didn't want the kind of crew having to kind of pick up after me, or to, like, you know, I wanted them to trust me and, you know, me to trust them. I wanted us all to kind of be on the same level rather than them being like, does she fucking know what she's doing, you know? So all of that was quite difficult, but also very rewarding because you're learning so much in such a short space of time, and it's something that you can really point to and be like, yeah, cool, you did that, you know? And then in terms of actually shooting it, there was something really helpful about, as an actor, you know, knowing exactly what I wanted to get, you know what I mean? You have a unique insight into your own brain in terms of, like, I know what I want from this scene. So, you know, sometimes it can be trickier with other directors because you're trying to communicate that in the moment, you know, what they want and how to do that. So because I had access to that in myself, it was somewhat easier to kind of just to do it then, you know? And kind of on the 2 days that we did it, I really just wanted to try and focus on the acting as much as possible and not be kind of distracted as much by the directing side of it. So it was actually, it was grand, you know what I mean? It was easier in the moment than I was expecting it to be, you know? And then the really fun part was kind of going into the edit and, you know, getting to play with it all.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I'm imagining that it would be like a lot more comfortable seeing as it's in like your own home as well. Like, so, like, you know, was it a lot easier? Like, have you had much experience like on sets and how, like, you know, was that different, I guess?
Yeah, the funny thing about it being in my house was my mom was there kind of helping out with everything.
No way.
Yeah, and like, you know, Baby Steps is essentially about, you know, a girl grieving about her dead mom. And my mom's just standing in the background of all the shots being like, why did you kill me off, Hannah? You know?
The irony.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like kind of an interesting part to it. And I also think it kind of helped a bit for some of the more emotional moments of it, because also, again, my mom's just sitting over there and she's getting emotional and I'm getting emotional and I'm like, oh God, you know, where's the line?
You don't need any of the tears.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm actually crying. I feel this because my mother's sitting right over there. So all of that was kind of, you know, interesting. You're trying to, you know, there's an element of trying to detach from the fact that it's your own space, because you don't want to be you want to be the other character, you know? So yes, the familiarity was helpful, and I also think it helped because it, you know, it helps that the space feels lived in. You know, you don't want to kind of go into, you know, a very sterile space. You want it to feel like someone actually lives there, and it's true because I do, you know. So all of that was kind of helpful. Definitely
lovely house, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah.
I suppose, like, I guess, well, who would be, like, I guess, your biggest inspiration then, I guess, like, because I know your film's a very, you know, feministic kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this recently. I like stuff that kind of is able to blend a kind of mix of comedy and a kind of bit of pathos and weirdness. I like, you know, weirdness and stuff. I mean, kind of, I think recently, I think Yorgos Lanthimos is
oh, agreed,
great. You know what I mean? And I love when movies kind of push the weird boat out a little bit like that, because I think, you know, we don't get a lot of that. Yeah. And I also don't think we get a lot of that in Ireland. And I think we need to do more of that because we are all weirdos here. We're funny weirdos, you know? So I'd love to kind of be able to do that a bit more and mix a bit of kind of, you know, I like a bit of fantasy and I like a bit of, you know, stuff that's a bit different. So that would kind of be the goal going forward, is trying to push that stuff a little bit more, you know, and mix it in a way that feels cohesive.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you got any like current plans at the moment? Can you tell us about anything?
Yeah, well, there's it's funny because I bounce around a couple of things. So just in terms of acting, I just shot another Focus short that's going to be kind of doing the rounds for the next year. And that was also with Fionn from Cantata, actually, as well. Yeah, he's great. And the director, Jetta Debris, is brilliant as well. If you ever get a chance to check out her stuff, she's really good. And then in terms of my own stuff, you know, I'm just kind of, I'd love to make another short, you know, just even to kind of get more practice in doing that. And then I'm just trying to do a bunch of writing, basically. And I've kind of got a pilot that I'm shunting around at the moment and all of that. So that's the plan, just do more stuff, you know.
Yeah, sick. Yeah. And I guess, like, you know, what would be like the one thing that you have taken away from this experience, and what would you like tell to someone, you know, starting out? You know,
I think, like, trust yourself and your own instincts. You know, I think people sometimes can give you advice. It's like, I certainly got this advice, you know, when I was younger, that's like, you can't do everything, you know, like choose one thing and focus on that. But I actually think it enriches your work to know lots of different sides of stuff, you know. So like, as much as possible, if you can get a grounding in all of the elements that go towards making something, you know, do that. And don't let anyone be like, no, pick one thing and do that. Do it all, you know what I mean? If you want to, because I think it can only enrich what you're doing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you.
Thanks a mil. I wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Thanks a mil.
Thank you.
To find out more about the young Irish filmmakers and the work that they do, check out yifm.com today. Check out yifm.com. Check out yifm.com.